It's time for ER 101 with expert guests provided by the American College of Emergency Physicians. Here's Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101. April, ironically, is both Sexually Transmitted Disease Awareness Day and Oral Head and Neck Cancer Month, Awareness Cancer Month. So my next guest, an expert in this, Dr. Vikas Mehta, has been on the show many times before, is assistant professor in the Department of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery at Louisiana State University at Shreveport. So welcome, and thanks for being on the show again, Dr. Mehta.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about... There's a change in who we're seeing today related to head and neck cancer. What are the major contributing factors for people that develop head and neck cancer?
So the two really main contributing factors are smoking and alcohol abuse, and now what we've recently been seeing is HPV, the human papilloma virus.
So it's the same virus that causes cancer in women, cervical cancer, right, is now causing head and neck cancer in men and women, I assume. But is that true?
Yeah, okay. And both.
So, and in the past, you know, other than, so what are the, I guess the, are there risk factors? So, obviously, smoking is terrible for everything. It causes all kinds of cancer.
Absolutely.
So obviously, telling people to quit smoking. But what other things do you recommend for people?
Well, so, you know, smoking and alcohol, I mean, smoking in and of itself increases not only the risk of getting head and neck cancer by about 8 times, but it also, smoking for young people when they're exposed to HPV, the high-risk kind, what we see is people that smoke are more likely to retain that virus. And then even if they quit smoking, have that high-risk virus stay in the back of their throat, in the oropharynx, and then more likely to develop oropharynx cancer later on in the future. So that is definitely, you know, not only a risk factor for getting head and neck cancer in general, but also for getting HPV-positive head and neck cancer.
Now, an HPV, according to the CDC, is a very common sexually transmitted disease, something like 6 million people a year. And I saw a statistic that estimated exposure, a lifetime exposure, 50% of sexually active men and women. That's huge.
Yeah, no, I mean, and absolutely a lot of people are exposed to it. And, you know, things that put you at higher risk of retaining the high-risk kind, you know, is just really increased number of partners, you know, and so that does show increased risk of being exposed to the high-risk HPV, not necessarily getting head and neck cancer, though.
Right. So, and not to be squeamish about it, but it's related to oral sex, right, obviously, or is how the transmission is, correct?
Well, you know, it's very unclear. I mean, some data out there suggests that it is exposure to oral sex, but, you know, there have been also studies where they took, you know, 2- and 3-year-olds and swabbed their mouths and found high-risk HPV in them, you know, in a large population study in Scandinavia. And so it's unclear exactly who's getting it and why it's staying there. But that is, you know, one of the theories.
So when you talk about, like, high-risk HPV, there's a lot of different strains of HPV, right? And not all of them are considered sexually transmitted diseases or dangerous.
Well, what we know is there are certain ones that cause cancer, and the cancers that we know. And so those are the ones that we can actually vaccinate against.
Which, so, and just can you describe a little bit, so, and it is an astounding discovery. I once was had to name the most astounding discoveries of the decade, I think, and proving that a virus actually is causing a cancer. I mean, we always talk about the cure for cancer, and yet finding a virus that we now have a vaccine, and it just astounds me that these anti-vaccine people are like against the vaccine after we've found a cure for a cancer. So, but how does it actually create the cancer, the virus?
Well, so, you know, the virus, what happens is essentially it integrates into the patient's genome, and some of the viral proteins that are expressed that way actually end up inactivating some of the key things that tell your cells to stop growing. And so then what happens is they grow out of control and proliferate and turn into cancers. The nice thing is that those mutations don't cause irreversible change. And so once we give some kind of treatment like surgery, chemo, and radiation, that those cells respond much better and to the treatments, and so the prognosis for the HPV-positive tumors is much better than the ones that are caused by smoking. Those cause irreversible mutations, and so the treatments don't usually work as well.
Wow, so that's encouraging, and that's probably why Michael Douglas looks so well.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And seems to be doing pretty well with it. So that, yeah, I guess that's the good news about it. But then again, it's this idea of the vaccine. So what's your recommendation? What do you tell? Now, patients that have already come down with it, they can't get the vaccine at all, right? So this is
right.
the idea of the next generation of kids, right? Because the ones that are coming down with the HPV, are they usually the younger generation of people?
So what we see is that the patients on average are about 5 to 10 years younger than your traditional head and neck cancer patient, and they're more likely to be non-smokers than a traditional head and neck cancer patient. But in terms of vaccine recommendations, you've absolutely sort of hit the nail on the head, is that it's really to prevent the next generation from getting it. Currently, the vaccine is FDA approved for anyone ages 12 to 26. And so, you know, because of this risk, I mean, because of this alarming increase, we've seen a fourfold increase in oropharynx cancer in the last 30 years.
Wow.
We recommend, I mean, that boys and girls get vaccinated, just to prevent this cancer. There's been a lot of great studies showing that it's very efficacious in preventing the high-risk HPV from staying in the system.
Yeah, and the truth is, I mean, I think the CDC originally, you know, recommended for girls and then said, you know, you could make the decision for boys, but I think maybe now they're changing some of the recommendations for boys. I know a lot of the pediatricians I know are recommending it.
Right, absolutely. And you know, because of that, you know, actually men are at higher risk of this oropharynx cancer than women.
Oh, okay. So that's a very good point. And I think it really is absolutely an important thing. And it's amazing to me, as I said, that we talk about, oh, we want to cure cancer, but yet there are such skeptics with the vaccine. And it's shown to be pretty safe, true?
Yeah. No, there haven't been any adverse reactions or issues reported.
That's great. So I highly recommend it. I actually got my son vaccinated, so it's an important topic. I want to thank my guest for discussing this topic. This is ER101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well and tune in to your health.